We want an informal welcome, but there's no sort of sofa or comfy chair, so we'll stand here. But Michael, we are so grateful you're here. Thank you so much for joining us, and we're very much looking forward to your meeting. And I'd just love to ask one or two questions as a bit of a meet and greet, if that's all right.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, first of all, for inviting me. It's such a privilege to come. I've really enjoyed beginning to meet some of you already.
Wonderful, wonderful. I said to the children in the car, let's go for some icebreaker questions. And I've got children from 18 down to 8. So we'll start with the ones, well, not all of them made the final cut, should we please say. Michael, a favourite food?
I come from Singapore. Singaporeans love food. I have lots of favourite foods. Depends on my mood. A good steak?
Good. Oh,
that's... A good Thai curry?
Oh.
There are lots of nice things.
Okay, very good, very good. We'll take both of those. The crowd are impressed with that. An ideal holiday, summer holiday.
Oh, I have the privilege of going on my ideal summer holiday every year. I love the mountains. I love walking in the mountains. I go to Austria and I walk in the Alps. It's fantastic.
Wonderful, wonderful, and recommended. Wonderful, sounds great. If you weren't here this weekend, what might you be doing?
I have reached that very old and sort of boring stage of life when I probably have stayed in and just had dinner and read a book or something. Very sad as you get older.
Well, which type of book? Yes, that's right. So there's lots of people with very young children going, this sounds dreamy. Yeah. That's the ideal holiday you just described. Which a particular tome, particular book?
I don't read heavy stuff any longer. I've never been a particularly good reader. So I tend to reread some of the novels that I enjoyed in my youth. I enjoy rereading some of the John Buchan books, some of the Neville Shute books, if any of you have read any of those. I'm going to be recommending the Narnia series. And if you haven't read the Narnia series, you must.
Okay, good. Brilliant. That's good. We'll remember that. Now, I know we ran this one by... You're not an enormous football fan.
I'm not an enormous football fan. I know very little about it at all.
Not even a small football fan, I don't think. But... My car were keen to know who are going to win the Premiership. Do you
What's
even know?
What's the Premiership?
Okay. If we had to choose between Liverpool and Arsenal, who are going to win the Premiership?
Well, I know
there is a right answer and a wrong answer.
Is there? Well, because you're in Crouch End, that right answer must be Arsenal.
That's a big, yeah.
But they might not win.
But they might not win. There we go. We'll take that. That's the right answer with some thinking it's the wrong one. Michael, tell us a little bit about... You mentioned from Singapore. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about life growing up and indeed when you became a Christian. Yeah. What was that for you?
So I was born and brought up in Singapore and stayed in Singapore till I finished my school and came over to this country to go to university. In Singapore, I came from a nominal church family. My parents sent me to Sunday school but didn't go to church themselves. I went to Sunday school until the age of 11, got bored, like a lot of children aged about 11, and quit. But it had sown a seed in me, and when I went to university, I thought, I wonder what this Christianity thing is all about. So I started investigating it in a very academic, just sort of, I call myself a Christian still because of my background. What is one of them? And the more I discovered about Christianity, the more I learned, the more I thought, this is true. And I might not like what I'm learning, but it's true. And I was a scientist, and I thought, you don't run away from evidence. If it's true, I have to respond. There's a line in C.S. Lewis when he describes the day he was converted, and he says that he was the most reluctant convert in all England. And I had a lot of sympathy with that.
That's a really wonderful. So that was at university, you're saying?
My first year at university.
And you're a scientist. So what had you thought you might go to university and end up doing? And what did you leave university to end up doing?
I thought I would go to university to be an academic. My father was an academic, and I thought I could cope with that way of life. And so I'll be an academic scientist. But the answer was I wasn't clever enough to be an academic scientist. But also by the end of my time at university, I was losing interest in it. I didn't go into Christian ministry straight away. I came down to London and worked as an engineer for about 7 years. But the thought of going into Christian ministry had occurred to me at university, and I was playing with it in a very reluctant sort of way again. To be honest, when I first became a Christian, one of the things that stopped me becoming a Christian literally for about 6 weeks was the thought of, if I became a Christian, God might ask me to be a missionary. That is a fate worse than death. But after I've been a Christian for a few years, I thought, actually, teaching the Bible and helping people become Christians and grow as Christians is something I'd really, really like to do. So in the end, I went into Christian ministry.
Wonderful. So give us a little snapshot about where have you said, now lots of you know from time at St. Helens, but what sort of form has ministry taken?
My journey into ministry was not smooth because I knew I would never be able to run a church. I just didn't have the skill set to run a church. I loved teaching the Bible. I loved teaching people how to study the Bible, but I didn't have any of the other gifts in terms of running a church that you need to run a church. So I spent about 4 years dithering and thinking, I want to teach the Bible, I can't run a church. And in those days, there was only one job. If you went to Christian ministry, you had to end up running a church. You could put off the evil day for a few years by being a curate for a long time. And I had friends who were curates for 20 years. But in the end, you have to run a church. And I knew I could never do that. But in the end, I thought, I so want to teach the Bible, I'll go to theological college anyway. So I went to theological college, came out, got offered a job back at St. Helens for 2 years. That came to an end. I went and became an assistant minister at another church for a year. That didn't go very happily because my minister changed his theological convictions whilst I was there. I was then unemployed for about 5 years, but still doing a lot of ministry. And then God opened up the most wonderful job for me, running the associate scheme at St. Helens, training people to go to full-time ministry, and running some of the Bible study groups at St. Helens. And I think had somebody asked me when I first started thinking about Christian ministry to write my ideal dream job, I would not have come up with something half as good as that.
Mm, wonderful, wonderful. And that's a job you've done for a long time. And a slight change now, is that right, in terms of how you're serving the Lord in this current phase of life?
Yes, I've been pensioned off, so I'm put out to grass.
I wasn't going to put it like that, but you can.
Which in some ways is incredibly sad because I loved my job so much. But it was very demanding, and there comes a stage in life you sort of think the time has come that a younger person needs to do that. So I'm now looking for areas of ministry I can serve in, so weekends like this are a great opportunity, which is why coming is a privilege for me. And I'm looking for opportunities to teach the Bible, which I think is just the most wonderful thing, that God has spoken to us, and we have the opportunity to open it and hear him speak and discover the most amazing truths that he has revealed, which are utterly life-changing.
Well, we are so grateful you're here, and many thanks again for coming. You're going to, I think, now share a little bit about sort of your hopes and sort of aspirations and vision for the weekend ahead and what we're going to hear. I've seen a sneak peek in the handbooks, but I'll hand over to you and you can give us a little snapshot.
Brilliant. You'll be pleased to know we won't spend very long. I know it's Friday evening. Most of us are very tired. What I want to do just very briefly to set up is to talk about why we have a weekend on the new creation. So you might have thought, why that topic of all topics? And the reason is, I think it's one of the most important truths in the Bible. I'm using the term the new creation in its broadest possible sense. If you're a real Bible student and you get a concordance out and look it up or do search on Google in your online Bible for new creation, you'll find very few references to it. But the concept that's included within it has many, many parallel terms which the Bible uses a lot. Sometimes it's new heavens and new earth. Sometimes it's heaven. Sometimes it's life after Jesus returns, sometimes it's eternal life, sometimes it's the age to come. There's a whole set of terms that the Bible uses to talk about what happens after Jesus returns a second time. The whole point and purpose of what God is doing, which I'm calling the new creation, and that's what we're going to be thinking about. And as I said, I think that is probably one of the most important truths in the Bible. You see, Jesus comes twice. We know that Jesus' coming is an incredibly important event. Jesus came, He lived on earth, he died on earth, he rose again to take away our sins. That is one of the most important truths anywhere, ever. And we as Christians rightly focus on that. But actually, Jesus comes twice. The second time, he comes to inaugurate the new creation. We spend hardly any time on that at all. And it's just as important as his first coming. But because we think about it so little, we really don't understand or appreciate it at all. And this imbalance in our understanding leads many Christians to have a very wrong view of the gospel, and so a wrong focus to our Christian lives. You see, the problem is all of us, all humans, live in this world. You can't avoid it. And everything we do in the day, all the people around us, everything around us, doesn't just encourage us to focus on this world, it almost forces us to focus on this world. So even as Christians, we end up focused on this world almost exclusively unless we force ourselves to think about the new creation and Jesus' second coming. But it is very, very important. And if we don't think about it, we end up, even as Christians, thinking about things in this world, not just in a worldly sense. We twist the Christian gospel so it becomes focused in this world. It's easiest to see when we look at other parts of the church. So some of you will know about things like the prosperity gospel, where Christians have focused on the blessings we get in this world, perfect health, lots of money, great riches, power. And they think that's what Christianity is about, it's about what we get. Or other parts of the church have said Christianity is about how we change the world. And the concept you may have come across is the social gospel, where the gospel of Christianity becomes how we make the world a better place. Or another thing, which is probably more historical than current, is parts of the church have sought political power. And you see that particularly in the Roman Catholic Church in the medieval times, when they tried to Christianize the countries of Europe. You still see that in some parts of the church today. You want the political power. We think that Christianity is about doing things in this world, getting things in this world, achieving things in this world, transforming this world. I'm hoping that we will see over the course of this weekend that that is not authentic biblical Christianity. So what's the aim for this weekend then? Three main aims. First, to understand what a huge place the new creation has in the Bible. In other words, in all that God is doing. Not just how big it is in the Bible, I want us to see also how wonderful it is. It's not simply an important truth we're missing out on. It's a truly thrilling, heartwarming, wonderful truth we're missing out on. So that's the first aim, to see how big and wonderful the new creation is. Second aim, to see why it has such a huge place in God's plan. Not in the sense of what evidence is there for that, but why it's so essential. Why does God want to focus on a new creation and not this world? And I want us to see that it is absolutely essential that there's a new creation. God's plan to bless us, God's plan to achieve all he's aiming to do, would not work without the new creation, will not work without the new creation. And I think it's really important to see why the new creation is so important, so we are persuaded it really is that important. If you don't see it's essential, we won't be persuaded it's important. And I want us to see why it's essential, so why it's important. And the third aim is to understand the implications of all of this for us now. The new creation is a future event. It will happen when Jesus returns. But just because it's a future event doesn't mean it doesn't have implications now. We're all used to the fact that a future event can have big implications now. If you have a major exam coming up in a month's time, 6 weeks' time, your life is dominated by revision and planning and things like that. If you have a big event coming up, like a wedding, your wedding, your child's wedding, something like that, life is dominated by planning for the wedding. Looking at the people here and the children, think of the birth of your first child. How much in advance were you planning for that? Painting the child's bedroom, acquiring all the kit and clobber you need for a small child, arranging what your life is going to look like when the child arrived. The events are all future, but they have big implications for now. The new creation is the same thing. It's a future event with big implications for now. Finally, how do we get the most out of this weekend? I think the first thing we need to do to get the most out of this weekend is to think. I'm going to be quite provocative in what I'm going to say. I'm not going to sort of beat around the bush. I'm going to try to put it as clearly as the Bible does, as clearly as I can. And you might occasionally feel a little bit uncomfortable when you see what the Bible is saying. And I want us to think and engage with that. Don't just accept it. Don't just reject it. Think about it. Be noble Bereans. Some of you will know the Bereans. For most of us, I suspect we don't. So let me introduce us to the Bereans. You come across them in Acts chapter 17. In the beginning of Acts chapter 17, Paul goes to a city called Thessalonica and preaches the gospel. And after a few weeks of listening to him, some of the people there, some of the Jews there, were very unhappy with what he said and fomented a riot and basically drove him out of town, probably would have stoned him or something had they caught him. So Paul then goes to the next town, a place called Berea. Let me read to you what happened when he went there. By the way, I should have said I've got truly awful eyesight. So when I read or even look at my notes, I'm going to do that. So you just have to be polite in English and ignore that. Even if you're Scottish or Brazilian or German or anything else. Which is why, by the way, for the main talks, I'm going to have somebody else doing the readings. Anyway, this is Acts 17. So Acts 17, I'm starting at verse 10. The brothers immediately sent Paul and Silas away, that's from Thessalonica, to Berea. And when they had arrived there, they went into the Jewish synagogue. Now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word of God with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were true. That's a wonderful attitude. It's an attitude we should always take when we hear Christian speakers speak. Listen to what's being said. Search the scriptures to see if these things are true. Because what matters is not what I say. There I said, what matters is not what Adam says. What matters is what God says. So what we need to do is we need to go to scripture and see if it's there. So we're going to have lots of passages read over the course of the weekend. And what I want you to do is listen, think, engage, and think, not what is Michael saying, but is this what God is saying? And if it is, that's God, and we need to take it seriously. Part of that, ask questions. So think about what's being said. Talk to each other about it. Ask questions. Ask me. I love questions. We have a whole session at the end of the weekend devoted to a Q&A session. But don't wait for them. Just come and grab me and ask questions of me because I love answering questions. The only time I won't answer a question is probably 10 minutes, for the 10 minutes before each session when I'll be getting my mind into my notes for that session. My eyesight is so bad, I won't recognize your face, so please keep introducing yourself to me when you do that. And the final thing where we get the most out of the weekend is pray. Be hungry to hear God. It's so easy, isn't it? I've done this so much myself. When you listen to talks, so just sit there passively, letting it sweep over you. But that's not the way to treat anything important in life, far as something as important as what God is saying and his word. So pray that God would speak to us. Be eager and hungry to find out what he has to say. You can do that sort of as you wake up in the morning before you come to the sessions.
Let's pray and commit all of the weekend to the Lord. Father, we thank you so much that we can know you, and thank you, as Michael's reminded us, that you speak to us longing to reveal your purposes and plans. And so we are so grateful for your word. Pray very much, as Michael said, you'd give us hearts that are hungry and humble. We pray that we'd be Berean as we listen. Pray we'd make the most of having Michael here to speak to and ask questions of informally and indeed throughout the weekend. So, Lord, we do just pray that you'd give us a real appetite and yearning to understand more and more the importance of your new creation, how it changes very much our lives in this creation,
and to eagerly anticipate the Lord's return. So we pray that you'd be with us in those meetings. Help us to concentrate. Minds will wander to life and work and all those sorts of things. Lord, we do pray you'd help us to really learn and grow in our love for the Lord Jesus Christ, our anticipation of his return, our longing for the new creation, and a real zeal and love for your word that would spur us on as we leave this place as well. But we commit tonight to you. Thank you for celebrations, our being together, and our whole weekend we put to your purposes in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.